Hi, this is Ted Logan, and I'm here with you tonight for another edition of The Worst Sci-Fi Commentary Track Ever. Tonight I'll be documenting the worst sci-fi trilogy conclusion ever. The final conclusion to our epic saga of Captain Bitscape and Captain Logan. This is our scary red title, which is designed to inflict fear in the hearts of viewers. The titles were done using the Windows video package MGI VideoWave, which was okay, except I had to write a Perl script to chop up this opening video into one chunk for each of these titles, which was kind of obnoxious, but I managed to deal with it. Well, we took the monolith, which you'll see later on in this movie, and punched holes in it, backlit it with a couple of fluorescent light bulbs, and we called that our starfield. And we panned down it for the opening scene, and now this is, and we drug the Willy's little polystyrene foam model across it for this scene. Soldier after soldier and fleet after fleet. In our movie, the ships don't whoosh as they go by, they squeak. That's a feature. This is Willy's friend Heather recording the audio. We decided we wanted to write her out of this movie in some compelling way. She really can't act, so we really didn't want to get her in the movie. But we drug her downstairs one night when she dropped by for some unapparent reason and said, "Here, read this," and pointed the video camera at her and kept on recording until we got it. And we got it, and it works. For this movie, we did something radical. We did digital animations for our special visual effects. They look, well, they don't look all that good. This is Bitscape coming out of Willy's room. Back on the same space station. This is the Wall Street Journal, which was, I thought it was supposed to be a timeless event, but no. Some short time after we filmed this, they changed their title.
I'm gone for just a little while, and everyone gets delusions of grandeur.
That line, of course, was a reference to Return of the Jedi. Anybody who knows the layout of my house will understand that we're running around in circles. Now we're down in the basement in Commodore Yeager's office. Here, this is the first time I actually get a visible speaking part in a worst sci-fi movie. I kind of prefer having roles like this. Something like, well, Kevin Smith, actually. Up until James Silent Bob Strike Back.
And you don't either.
I like having small cameo roles. Under the sign, under the poster, the picture behind me, you can see the paperclip here tape mark from the previous movie.
Captain Logan sabotaged the ship's computer. Now, it thinks that it's a library renewal computer. I don't believe it.
That was something to do with our house or something. I don't remember exactly what it was.
These logs have been forged. Captain Logan would never do anything like this.
Well, I seem to play the obnoxious upper management person.
We'll see about that.
It's kind of fun. I like playing obnoxious characters. It gives me a chance to be obnoxious. This is our external shot again. This movie would have been great with some music or something.
Oh, my sweet. I never thought we'd get out of there.
In the first take, Bitscape said, "Commodore Yeager rambled on forever." And I said, no, you ramble, I changelog. And so, therefore, he says that I changelogged on forever. The only thing we did different with this set from the last movie is we put the monitors up on the bar.
Back on the bridge of the Festus 7. Feels just like home. Although...
I think the pillow just jumped out of the screen, out of the left side of the frame, a couple seconds ago. This is Aquarius again, as the mainframe computer for the starship.
Of course.
That is Bitscape's Game Boy Advance. I don't actually remember what game he was playing. Maybe he'll mention that in his commentary track. Or maybe not. We took this take because The screen falls down, and it's awesome.
Captain's log.
Our theory was to put this over some sort of drifting through space scene, but from space station, it actually doesn't look too bad. And are now en route to the galaxy. You can get a really good shot of Bitskip's EFF t-shirt. Another cheap effect.
We're under attack! We must get to the battle bridge!
That one didn't end up too bad. Here we're in my cubicle. With a neat little Apple logo on the side of the screen. This is Peter's monitor that I borrowed from Scott because my monitor decided it was going to die randomly when I brought it home after my junior year at Walla Walla. I eventually, at the end of the summer, I gave it back to Peter and picked up a beautiful 19-inch monitor, which, I mean, I'm madly in love with it.
I'm sorry, but I
do love Jem more, but we'll go into that detail for the moment. Here he breaks out his Festus 7 ship controls once again.
This captain's not going down with the ship today.
Quick. He drags around his suite, the little alien bust with him everywhere he went. I was kind of dubious about this scene, but it actually works pretty well. This is a cardboard prop Willie made out of some box. That's got to be the dorkiest effect in the whole movie. This is our special destruction of the Festus 7 scene. We filmed it in our backyard over Thanksgiving, and in the background, if you listen really carefully in the original audio, you can hear the people building the house behind us. I kind of like the destruction scene. I attempted to emulate the destruction scenes that I've seen in various Star Trek movies. Specifically, Star Trek 3, when the Enterprise gets destroyed. I love the burning of the registration plaque. That's just cool. This scene could have been done a little better, but it works. There's definitely some noise from the people behind us. Those are supposed to represent girders from the ceiling falling down onto the bridge. Smile and nodding is appropriate at this juncture. This movie represented an entirely new paradigm in worst sci-fi movie-making excellence. We actually shot it out of order. It was fantastic. That means we didn't end up doing releasing the movie for a very long time.
The ship has been destroyed.
On the now, panel there, you can see my binary clock. That little effect shot there was one of the restored footage for the special web video release. In the initial VHS release, I didn't manage to get it because I edited it back together at 3 and 4 in the morning. And, well, I missed that shot and didn't think it was important enough to worry about it. That's Willie as the news monster and Bethany as the news bimbo.
Plants are going out all over the city.
We took an awful lot of shots of this take, and one of them was really, really funny. And so, of course, we're going to have to fill these into the the bloopers reel that I'm sure we'll be releasing at some point in the time. This was another one of the specially restored shots.
We're approaching the planet's surface.
I'm not exactly sure why he's typing so much, but it looks pretty good, so. And, Biscuit was really... It's really great that Biscape is capable of spewing this sort of babble and putting up with the abuse that I, as a worst sci-fi director, inflict upon him. This is the park near our house. I'm holding a green filter over the camera lens. In the next scene, it kind of falls off, and in the next scene after that, I completely forget it, which is a bug. His cape looks really great here. There's the filter in the top right corner. I guess this one still has it. He's basically walking through the same path, but it's a little bit different. You can also see that he had time to change. He'll change again before he enters the light base. This is the scene in which I forgot to put on the filter. We wanted to film an entrance of the light base scene, but the camera battery died a horrible and painful death while we were filming this, and so we gave up. We also, and I know Willie mentioned this, have a deleted scene that we filmed especially to be deleted, and we think we're creating a new paradigm in movie making dis excellence. The Foley in this scene was, I missed it in the first version of this movie, the VHS release, but now it's in the official web video release. There we go.
Captain Logan?
These scenes probably went on a little longer than strictly necessary,
Captain Logan.
But...
Captain Logan?
Well, hey, you know, I wasn't one to worry about those sort of details. He's actually wearing the same shirt he was when he got captured, and the same pants, but we could have fudged that detail a little.
Where am I?
On a planet on the outskirts of the light base.
We gotta get out of here.
My thoughts exactly.
Coming up soon are some pretty cheesy bullet time effects. We actually got a lot more footage than that, but... we decided it really didn't matter. There's the bullet time effects. It's really cheesy. We're hopping onto the proud Matrix Imitators bandwagon.
This is our
excellent transporter effects. Check this out. See? They disappeared, and the camera wiggled a little, which is a bug. But we'll omit that little detail at the moment. The official list again.
Ready? Okay.
In the special web video release... this scene is newly restored to its original time sink glory. Somehow or another, we ended up with an extra 300 milliseconds of video in this scene, and an extra 200 milliseconds of video of audio later. So by the end of the movie, the audio was lagging the video by 500 milliseconds, and it was really, really obnoxious. Here we have another epic Bitscape monologue, where he's going to continue talking for hours and hours on end, and the narcoleptic Captain Logan is going to fall asleep in the process. We, of course, have a great cast of characters sitting around this ping pong table.
While infiltrating,
Willie's getting really bored at this point, and trying not to laugh as I'm pointing the camera at him.
I was able to discover their secret
plans. And Bitscape's basically making this up as we go along.
We discovered a weakness.
Here we have Captain Bitscape.
This weakness.
Who recently destroyed his ship.
To divert the energy source.
Sitting next to him is my sweet, his little alien bust. I'm pretty sure I start panning soon here, but... I do know who's sitting next to my suite, but I'm going to wait until we start panning.
We require the most.
There we go, now we're panning.
And every one of you.
We have, sitting next to my suite is her brother, another alien bust, the Monolith, and Yeltsin. Willie's falling asleep again. Time passes. At space station... This is the Bridge of the Rosebud. This was the most elaborate set we had built to date, and it was pretty cool. Throughout the filming of this movie, we filmed, I think, all of the Rosebud Bridge shots in a single afternoon. Oh, that would be Bitscape making the door opening noise, which is amusing.
Why aren't the turbo lifts here on the USS Rosebud working?
That's our Star Trek Generations reference.
We're going to be launching by then.
Sorry.
While filming this scene, I would generally give my actors some vague idea of the scene they were supposed to do. We'd run through it a couple times. And then we'd film it once. And then I'd think, no, there's this much better way we can do this. And I'd think of some brilliant insight that we needed to implement. And then we'd run through that a couple times, and then we'd film it two or three takes. And the second or third take was generally the one that I liked the best.
Into the final frontier, I want you all to remember...
Another inspirational speech by Captain Bitscape.
That this day...
For speaking reservations, please contact Bitscape in his van by the river.
Let's go. Ensign, engage.
His speech is kind of the ending of his speech is kind of screwed up here because he doesn't happen to have an ensign on hand. In fact, he has a Captain Logan.
I'm Captain, sir. You're being hailed, sir.
That was an abrupt cut, but...
Open a channel.
Coming up here.
Okay.
This is my beautiful wife, Gemstone Logan. At the time, she was just my girlfriend.
Unknown vessel. Please identify yourself.
We filmed her a couple weeks earlier, and edited in the footage.
Captain Fassa, we could always use more help.
The problem we had was getting Bitscape to act exactly in sync with the pre-recorded video of Captain Kaisa Fantasia. This is one of our better jokes.
Anybody have to go to the bathroom?
Didn't we have a head installed on the ship?
That comes on Wednesday.
So, just in case you miss it, the monolith had to go to the bathroom. So now they're sitting there waiting for the monolith to return. There's Yeltsin sitting behind Willie manning his station. And the monolith is back. In one of the takes of this scene, it was pretty cool. Willie, in his haste to get to his station, tripped over the chair and the monolith and knocked both of them over. And that's definitely going in our bloopers reel as well. Which means that I may want to do a bloopers reel of some sort at some point in the future.
Engage. And we're off. Like a herd of stampeding cantaloupe.
Willie hated that line, but I thought it was great. There's another one of Willie's little effects. This is a Windows Space screensaver, but we recorded it onto VHS from Dad's notebook, and then hit play at the right time. In a couple of these takes, it didn't actually work quite right, and we ended up with fuzz at the beginning or end of the take and had to do it over.
On screen.
I love the fact that it synchronized. When Willie cranked the thing...
The planet is surrounded by their photonic... disruption,
Will is making things up as he goes along.
Raise shields.
That was a camera flash, which made this a very cheap but workable
Fire at will.
Worst sci-fi action sequence.
Keep those shields up.
This scene is not my most stellar example of brilliant editing. Partially because I've actually edited it at 3 in the morning on the night of the worst sci-fi premiere ever. The full details of the premiere, of course, can be garnered elsewhere, but the point is that when we attempted to show the movie, it was broken. Horribly broken. Worst Sci-Fi 1 worked just fine. Worst Sci-Fi 2 decided it was going to screw up the audio by playing it very slowly. Worst Sci-Fi 3 decided it really didn't need audio at all. And so I was up until 4 or 5 in the morning finishing it. Because I really did want to finish it. So, as a result, I was slightly sleep-deprived when I edited. And I managed to delete one of the shots I was working on and ended up with having to re-edit this battle sequence. And so I think a slightly different version exists somewhere or another on a CD. I'll have to find out if the audio is horribly broken.
Keep those shields up.
And of course, if I were really bored, I could always re-edit the thing from scratch. But I'm not that bored yet. Maybe someday I'll come out with a special new release.
We're through. They're gone.
To the matter transmitters!
Aye aye, sir!
That line, of course, was referenced to in the worst sci-fi prequel ever. One of the things that that amazed me when we watched this movie... Oh yes, that's Yeltsin on the bridge. One of the things that amazed me when I watched this movie at Night Before My Wedding was how much this movie has entrenched itself in worst sci-fi in Vestine culture. Practically... Every other thing Bitskip and I say is a reference to something worse sci-fi. And it's really rather amazing. It's another one of our cheesy transporter effects. This was the Flatirons location, which was really fun to film, and it ended up with some neat footage. We ended up playing some neat Wagner in the background. I think I've actually been inflicted. I've actually had inflicted on me a little bit of this opera. In German class, my senior year of high school, Frau Master was putting a VHS in the Metropolitan Opera of New York or something like that, performing Siegfried the Ranger. I did my best not to pay attention. I mean, I was a senior, what can I say? But I like the scene, and I like the music. I think Willy credits himself with this brilliance. Bitscape's cape really works well. It's a kind of nutty costume piece, but it's very fun. It adds character or something. Yeah, with some of this dialogue, you can tell that we obviously didn't have a screenplay. Of course, filming War Sci-Fi Zero, we had a screenplay and still ended up with an awful lot of unscripted babble. But it's entirely probable that the stuff we did script ended up a little better. And so that's always a feature. Captain Bitscape attempts to give his brilliant motivations again. The cape looks really great in that scene. This scene is my reference to Star Trek fans everywhere. Because Star Trek fans are always complaining and quibbling about, well, myself included, are always complaining and quibbling about, well, why didn't they do this or that in the episode? And we knew previously that this piece of technology works in this way, and that piece of technology works in that way, and when you put them together, it works in this other important and different way. And so this scene... We wrap up all the technological ends with the matter transmitter.
Scrambled our atoms to smithereens,
all that
like
sort of
delicious
stuff.
Dish.
At the end of the last take, I tripped over the rocks that are actually behind Bitscape now, and we end up with a neat little shot of, well, me falling over backwards, but it was from my perspective. Like I say, point of view shot of man walking backwards on trail, falling over rocks. I'm sure, you know, some sort of modernist something or other. This was me walking backwards on the trail. This was a very unsteady cam. And Willy, of course, will have plenty more to say about this on his track. It got dark before we finished filming the scene, and that's why it gets darker in this scene. I'm sure there's a compelling explanation for this. It might have something to do with them. As they approach the light base, I'm rationalizing, by the way, just in case you're wondering. As they approach the light base draws in all of the energy of the surrounding light, or something like that. That's me shining a mag light onto the flat iron. And we look up into the sky, and the camera changes its aperture. Those are supposed to be the light beams flying around or something. Here we have an extended battle sequence involving these holders we used earlier. We had great fun with those scenes. And of course now, you can download rocks in which you see Willy filming his rocks against the water tower. That was the footage for, I think all the footage we have is in that video clip. And all of these rock sounds came from that footage. And here we have the finale scene where Captain Bitscape uses his the light switch and redirects power.
The base is on the other side.
I'm sure there's a very compelling reason why there's a switch sitting on the back side of their light base or something like that.
It diverts light beam's power from their fleet to Los Angeles.
The extra special
and now, with the simple turn of a switch.
The
entire light beam
dramatic scene in which Bitscape
and Los Angeles
ends the light war
for the
something
first
like
time
that.
In 217 years.
Another cheesy effect by Willy. You can see that in the future in Los Angeles, all of the The cars, the roadways, have been replaced by special glowing tubeways. And in those special glowing tubeways, the people fly through.
This is away team 22G.
And they fly through the tubes.
Beam us out of here.
And it's pretty neat, really.
The energy field in place?
This is a continuation of our matter transmitter conversation earlier.
To Los Angeles, so we won't have any trouble beaming out of here, but people will have trouble visiting their relatives in Los Angeles.
Oh. Excellent.
Bitscape seems to say excellent whenever he has no idea what else to say.
Aye, Captain.
Another cheesy effect shot. The Rosebud is one of those Festus-class ships. The Titania must be another one. With Captain Kaisa Fantasia.
Time for a victory celebration. Khan, raise the Titania.
Torpedo's armed, sir.
I didn't get this joke until when we watched it the night before graduation. Which was, I felt kind of stupid that I didn't get it until then. I'm sure there was some brilliant... I knew there was some brilliant joke behind there. I just didn't know what
Kaisa.
It was.
Captain Biscuit.
We'd like to invite you to a victory celebration on planet Altair 4. Care to join us?
I'd love to,
but Space Command has sent us on an urgent errand of emergency to the Mutual Zone.
Oh, a pity.
The Mutual Zone is our apparent version of the Neutral Zone. I'm sure there's, some brilliant way. This is our ending sequence. I have to admit that it did not turn out nearly as well as I hoped. I think Willy hates it a lot more than I do.
Well, conquer the light beam.
He's declared a prohibition against alcohol showing up in future worst sci-fi movies. All I can say to him is be glad that only the characters were intoxicated, not the director or the actors were intoxicated. I'm sure that would make this movie a whole lot worse. That's me doing double duty as not only Commodore Jaeger, but also Bartender Jaeger, because as I say in the future, a Commodore in Space Command doesn't make nearly as much money as a Captain, or, even an Atari. I wonder if they have Apples and
here you go, sir. As good
as Amigas and or maybe even Beboxing as officers of ranks in Space Command.
Well, yes.
And since Willy's declared that this isn't the same universe as the Galactic, I can make any declarations I want. So therefore, I'm definitely going to assert that yes, there is a rank called a B-Box. Pangalactic Gargle Blasters, of course, come from Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. Here I take out a single drop and give it to Willy in a communion cup. And this is his great reaction coming up here.
He's dead, Jim.
In these scenes, we only have two people show up at a single time. Because whoever the third person was behind the camera. We actually, I think we managed to film it quite well. You can see the monolith sitting to Bitscape's left, marining, or drinking something out of a recycled Sobe bottle. We had great fun constructing all the props for this. We got a whole bunch of various containers and filled them with various colored waters and taped various labels to them. It was quite fun. We filmed a lot more footage for this scene that we didn't actually use, and it's probably a good thing that we didn't use, and I should probably take a bulk eraser to the tape just to make sure that nobody ever sees it again. Because, quite frankly, it's terrible. I was kind of hoping that it would be funny when I filmed it, but it wasn't. In the slightest.
Hey, look, it is communicating.
Yeah, I wonder what this is about.
This is the, we see again the timeline Cindy scene. In the first news sequence we filmed first, and Willy did a really bad job of moving his arms around. Because you can't see when his mouth moves, So you have to guess when he's talking. So here I told him to move his arms in some way or another each scene. I think Bethany did a pretty good job as the lead bimbo. Behind Willie, behind the both of them, is a surrealistic painting I painted in, I think it was freshman year of high school, under Mrs. Lawson in art class. And it's I kind of like it.
Ha ha ha. Humans have no idea of the
That's Bethany reading the script there.
Taken by surprise.
Of course, Los Angeles. Residents of Los Angeles are going to riot at nearly anything.
Residents of Los Angeles rioted.
So obviously they're going to riot when they get power back. We realize a little bit too late that we should have referenced the power crisis in Los Angeles in Worst Sci-Fi Zero. Oh, I'm sorry, as Willie likes to call it, Worst Sci-Fi Not. Here we have our Yeltsin drinking scene. I'm kind of envisioning the breathalyzer in The Simpsons. Let's see. Sloshed, tipsy, Boris Yeltsin. Wah, wah, wah. I'll just walk home. That was a bad Simpsons reference.
Wow, I didn't know Yeltsin was a nesting doll.
We needed something or another to wrap up the movie, but we weren't quite sure what. And this doesn't...
Big universe.
It's better than nothing, but it's not nearly as good as it could be.
Once again.
Unfortunately, I really had no idea what it could be.
You know, there's new ships.
So, this is what we ended up with.
Whole new crew. Whole different bunch of people. What if we'll ever get together again?
Biscuit passes out or something.
The what?
Oh, and there he's beeping.
We've been given command of the Festus 8.
And they've been given command of the Festus 8, so maybe there will be the worst sci-fi trilogy misnomer ever. Although, Willie and I have decided that our next movie will not be a worst sci-fi production. I had an epic storyboard for some computer-generated sequence I wanted to do for the ending, and this works. It wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but it was kind of fun. I think Willie lost the storyboard I did, and eventually found it and put it in his binder, which contains, at least one, maybe two of my old screenplays I wrote during high school, a couple of his screenplays, all of our notes for Worst Sci-Fi 3, and two identical copies of the screenplay from Worst Sci-Fi 0. I'm sure there's a compelling reason why we have two of them. One of them was the one that he's annotating. I'm hoping that he keeps it straight which one he's annotating. Otherwise, he wouldn't get it straight. But I'll leave that to Neely to figure out. Within a week or two, you'll know if he managed to pull off the release or not. And it's over. Heather still doesn't get a name, even this movie. I guess I could read the credits to you, but that wouldn't be very much fun, would it? The WAAC spaceport location... I'm sorry, WAEC spaceport location was the park where we had the external light base shots. Willie directed the visual effects again this time. This included the forgettable... Well, industrialized photons did the forgettable... digital animation. And here, of course, we have everybody who I want to thank. Larry Wall wrote Perl. Linus Torvalds wrote Linux. Without either of those people, this would be very... Making this movie would have been very difficult. And, of course, that emoticon is gems in my kissy face. It's like a smiley face, but there's two of them, and they're touching, so therefore they must be kissing. We also have other emoticons, which we will not be sharing with you. I love making this movie. Well, that's why I made Worst Sci-Fi Zero. This has been Ted Logan, your director for the Worst Sci-Fi Trilogy Conclusion Ever. Peace.